Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pat, the Eagles tonight said, and I got you, Spence, I'm tilting down on this laptop for our visual audience. Pat, the Eagles said tonight, hey, Detroit, we're ready. There's two teams that can win the NFC. That was what this game was about. And Saquon Barkley said, let's not give a quarterback the MVP just yet with 255 yards. Mm. He was incredible. It was he's had many coming out party games, like when he went back to New York, but this was in prime time on Sunday Night Football. He was the guy that was drafted by the Giants as a transcendent running back. That's how good he was. It reminded me, Pat, the closest thing I can come up with is when Randy Moss went to the Patriots, and it like put that offense from great to God tier. That's what he's doing for the Philadelphia offense. They already have the offensive line. Jalen Hurts there. It seems like that tension between him and Sirianni is now in the past. And it's just like a pick your poison. They didn't even have Devontae Smith tonight. Yeah. And they score 37 points. And that Rams defense has been underrated and pretty good all year. And the Eagles offense, other than kicking field goals, basically did whatever they wanted in this game tonight.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles set the tone from the get-go. Just really playing bully ball on both sides of the ball. Really running the ball behind Saquon Barkley in that offensive line, which is one of the best units in all of football. And they just made it absolutely difficult for Matthew Stafford and their offense from the first quarter to the second quarter. I mean, just literally sacking in the first half, having four sacks. It could have had a couple interceptions in there. Just really, really made it hard for Matthew Stafford to connect with his receivers down the field. But I was really impressed with the way the Philadelphia Eagles just continued to play their style of ball, especially in the second half of the season, because that was a big question mark last year. And I feel like this team is really, really catching their stride at the right time. And like you said, this game was a statement game stating that there is another team in the NFC that can challenge the Detroit.
I agree. I think they can beat Detroit. I'm not picking them to do that yet, but they're at least making me think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. This game definitely makes you think about it, because both of those teams are set up identical. You know, they're going to play great defense, got huge playmakers at the skill position, and you got a quarterback that's not going to turn the ball over, especially when their guys are their top guys are in the lineup.
And I think Philly, from a talent perspective, has got the defensive edge, Pat.
Yeah,
I think in
yeah.
terms of quality of player, with what Jalen Carter's doing, Sweat and Dean at linebacker, and your bread and butter. How about these corners? I mean, Slay's been around for a while. He's a good player. But Mitchell from Toledo has been an X factor for them and a huge upgrade over Bradbury and the guys they had there last year. I said on the podcast, I think when you were out, to me, he's the defensive rookie of the year. I don't care what the stats say, interceptions-wise, he shuts dudes down.
Yeah. Yeah, he's played really, really above his experience, you know, for the most part. I had the opportunity to watch him play today.
What do you see in him, Pat? What's he do well?
He's a very patient player. You know, he understands the game very well, and he's also a four-down player. He goes back there and catch punch as well. You know, so those players are very, very hard and unique in itself. You know, so just his patience at the line of scrimmage and also understanding route combinations. You could just tell that he understands the game very well and also was coached up very well to be able to make these plays that he's making at the highest level.
How far off is Saquon Barkley in your MVP conversation? How close is he to the number one spot?
Man, with this game today, he's very close because this is not the only game that he had 150 plus yards. I know he had 250 yards, but this is not the only game that he had 150 plus. You know, if he continues to,
he's on pace for 2,000.
Yeah, so if he continues to run the football the way he's running the football today, he's going to continue to climb. But right now, he's top five.
Top five. So right now on FanDuel, I just pulled this up. Josh Allen is one. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson is two, and then Barkley is three. He's leapfrog Goff and Mahomes at this point. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'd put him ahead of Jackson. I mean, to me, I can't give a quarterback the award on a team that finishes in a wild card spot unless his stats are unreal. Mm-hmm. And Allen, you know, just a breathtaking game against the Chiefs. And what he's been able to do for them. So I'm fine with that. I'd have him second right now. And Goff is nipping at his heels. He's right there. I've got Goff a little bit higher than they do too, even though he had the 5-interception game against Houston, what he's done for that Lions team. But we have not had a running back or a non-quarterback win the MVP since Adrian Peterson,
right?
That's exact. Yeah. Look at you, man. See, you're just... Not only do you know the game X's and O's wise, but you're even your ability to recall stuff like that is why you're at this. All right, so that sums up Eagles Rams here. Unless you got something else you want to say about the game, Pat, I shouldn't cut you off. Anything else stick out to you?
Nah, we pretty much hit it. Pretty much hit it from all angles. As far as speaking of the game,
and the Rams are done now.
Yeah,
I think the Rams are in a bad spot given what happened in the NFC West today.
Yeah, I think, well, hell, the whole NFC West was a loser except for the Seahawks. But no, I have nothing else on this game.
Okay, let's get to the Sunday games.
Good game by the Eagles, and hopefully they can keep this mojo going.
49ers and Packers is where we'll start. Mm-hmm. The 49ers got drilled without Purdy. Yeah. He ended up not playing with a shoulder injury. I have two big takeaways on this game, and I'm going to tell you what they are, and I'm going to give you a chance to react to both. The first one I'm going to say is on San Francisco big picture. I think they missed their window, Pat. Mm-hmm. I think they had their opportunity to win Super Bowls. I think it's come and gone. Debo had only one catch in this game. Ayuk tore his ACL. Kittle might be a cap casualty at the end of the year. Trent Williams is getting close to 40, although still playing at a high level, but now the injuries are catching up to him in a big way. And I don't know, man. I just have a hard time believing that a team made up of guys that are mainly in their late 20s and early 30s now, two Super Bowls behind them, under 500 this late in the year, I think that their best chance to win it happened, it's come and gone. And that doesn't mean they're going to be irrelevant. But if I were a 49ers fan, I'd be sitting on my couch when this game ended or watching them get blown out. The worst loss they've ever had to the Packers, by the way, by four touchdowns, thinking, we blew it. We had chances to win Super Bowls, and Patrick Mahomes denied us both times.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100% because – like you said, a lot of these guys are going to be cap casualties heading into next year because now we got to find a way to pay Brock Purdy if that's what the San Francisco 49ers want to do. And this is the first time in a long time that I saw is that the San Francisco 49ers was out physical. And that's something that we rarely get to say. I know they didn't have Brock Purdy in there as a starting quarterback, but the defense still had to show up, and Josh Jacobs just ran right through every defender that was on the San Francisco 49ers defense.
Makes Bosa look underpaid, doesn't he? Because when he doesn't play, they get destroyed.
No doubt about it. And also, on top of that, It looks like Juwan Jennings might be the San Francisco 49ers' number one receiver, the way he's been playing ever since the absence of Brandon Ayuk. You know, so, but this team, like you said, their window, I believe their window has shut. A very, very older team than other teams across the league. And it's just been, in my opinion, just too many distractions heading into this season.
You called that, man. You were all over that.
Heading into the season, now into the season, you got injuries. It's just this team was not focused from the jump, in my opinion. And that's why they're playing the way they're playing right now.
Well, so the other takeaway I had, I think the other big winner in this game was actually Purdy. Because Purdy, the last thing he would want, his people, is for the system to show that any quarterback could get plugged in there and go off, which when Garoppolo went out and he went in, that's what people were saying. So Brandon Allen was terrible in this game. Xavier McKinney, you know, this now two guys. I'm actually wearing a New York Giants sweatshirt, by the way. I don't know why. They gave this. This must have been at Goodwill. I got this for free because nobody else wanted to wear it. Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney.
Yeah, both
going McKinney leads the league in interceptions, and Barkley's going to go for 2,000 yards. That's how you get to the Giants squalor where they're 2-9. Both of those guys let him walk, but he had his seventh interception today. Mm-hmm. It's a game that makes Purdy, like Tua when he was out in Miami, look like he's more irreplaceable, Pat. Yeah. The drop-off from starter to backup was that pronounced because for years we heard, well, it's the Kyle Shanahan system. Didn't look like the system was very good in this game today at all.
Nah, it definitely looked like the system was not activated, if you want to say so. But we'll see next week. I don't know how long Brock Purdy is going to be out. We'll see.
They're saying he's going to play next week.
Oh, okay. Then I was going to say, if that's the case, if Brandon Allen was going to get the call again next week, maybe, you know, Cal have a better game plan in place for Brandon Allen. But if Brock Purdy is going to get the go, because they're going to need him, although they're still only one game out of the league in the NFC West, they're going to need Brock Purdy to play the rest of this season to give themselves a shot.
All right. What do you got for me next year, Pat? Cue me up on this crazy game.
Oh, man, we got the Chiefs and the Panthers. Another last-second win. What is your take on this one?
Well, I saw a lot of the post-game shows, and they were saying this is the best game Bryce Young's ever played. And I think everybody roots for Bryce Young because of everything he's gone through. He's a very likable kid. But the flip side of that is Kansas City's defense let him have the best game he's had ever in the NFL. Yeah. And he's throwing to David Moore, was his leading receiver. And Adam Thielen, who I know you respect mightily, but it's his first game off a hamstring injury. The guy's missed 2 months. And they're going up against this great Kansas City defense. And they got 9 points late in the game, and they rally, and they almost come all the way back and win. So this now 2 weeks in a row, the Bills, you write it off as, hey, it's Buffalo. Now it's Carolina that was able to move the ball against you. So that's warning sign number one. This defense is not playing at its elite level the last two games. And then the next thing is this, man, and I brought this up, and you said, well, Mahomes is able to always get out of trouble, and so the offensive line doesn't matter as much. Dude, these tackles are not good. Mahomes got sacked 5 times today. Pat, they're so desperate, they had to call up your old friend DJ Humphreys. He got signed there. He's going to come back. They're hoping he plays next week, but they've basically brought him off the street to be a left tackle. That's how concerned they are right now about that position. So, you know, I think most of the year we've just said, hey, give them the benefit of the doubt because they're the Chiefs. This is a, you know, if they had played 10 other teams in the NFL, I think would have beaten them today.
The last 3 weeks.
Right. Denver at least is looking like they're a legitimate team now. This is a scary win for them. This is a red flag win, in my opinion.
And what did I say as well? Yeah, we know the Chiefs can win any type of way. But how long is winning this way is going to last?
They're like, playing with fire every time.
Yes, it's cool if you win a game by a point or two every other week. But this is happening every single week, and they're just getting by because they're not playing, I won't say good teams. If they were playing better teams, they would have probably lost those games, which it showed in Buffalo when they played Buffalo in Buffalo last week. You know, so they got to find a way to get obviously protect Patrick, because that's a big no-no. He can't be getting hit that many times and running for his life majority of the football game. So hopefully DJ Humphrey comes in there and provides some help. But I'm going to go back to Bryce Young, man. Over the last 3 weeks, this was his best game by far. And I'm going to tell you why I believe this was his best game by far, because now the Carolina Panthers are moving the pocket for him. The running game is a little bit more sustainable. It's not, you know, 35 yards a game. Now they're in the 80s, between the 80s and the 90s. And that's something that's helping Bryce Young as well in the passing game. And today, the Panthers did a great job of playing keep away and converting on key moments in that game on third down in the red zone. I know they kicked a lot of field goals early, but when it came down to the nitty gritty, they played their best football. Obviously, like I said, Bryce Young having his best game. He was 21 to 35, 263 yards, 7.5 yards per attempt, and one touchdown. I mean, that's winning football. And I don't know if him sitting down a couple weeks and letting the game really come to him and letting it unfold. But the last 3 weeks, man, Bryce Young has looked like a total different quarterback.
I also think that if the Chiefs don't get home at the quarterback, their secondary is not holding up like it did in the past. Snead's playing in Tennessee. Watson's on IR. And so, you know, Trent McDuffie's a good player. But outside of him, you've got Connor at the nickelback and Johnson, who's a seventh-round pick from a couple of years ago, at outside corner. They're vulnerable there. Yeah. And they've had some unsung heroes step up the last couple of years here on teams, Pat. That's not a strength of the team anymore.
And that's how they end up losing that. Well, almost losing that game, forcing that game into overtime with the two defensive pass interference.
Correct.
Late in the fourth quarter. You know, so that's something you just can't have.